Christmas, Bob Cratchit.
And the same to you, Mr. Fred.
Merry Christmas, Uncle. I said, Merry Christmas, Uncle.
Humbug.
Christmas a humbug, Uncle? Surely you don't mean that.
I do. What's Christmas but a time for buying things for which you have no need, no money? Time for finding yourself a year older, not an hour richer. If I could work my will, every idiot who goes about with Merry Christmas on his lips should be boiled in his own pudding and buried with a stake of holly through his heart.
Come now, Uncle.
Nephew, you keep Christmas in your way and let me keep it in mine.
Keep it? But you don't keep it.
Let me leave it alone, then. Much good it may do you. Much good it has done you.
There are a great many things from which I might have derived good, from which I have not profited, I dare say. Christmas among the rest. But I've always thought of Christmas time when it comes round as a good time, a kindly, forgiving, charitable time. A time when men and women seem by one consent to open their shut-up hearts freely to their fellow creatures. And so, Uncle, though it has never put a scrap of gold or silver into my pocket, I do believe that it has done me good. And I say, God bless it.
Not a sound from you. And you'll keep your Christmas by losing your situation.
Merry Christmas and bah humbug to you. How many of you have ever seen or read a Christmas Carol? How many of you have like a favorite edition? I know some people like this was George C. Scott. I know that there's a Jim Carrey version of this. It's animated. I know there's a bunch of them. There's over 100 adaptations either through a movie, a TV series, or animation of the Christmas Carol. And this is my favorite one. The reason I chose this one with George C. Scott is that it's from 1984. He has such a sinister laugh as Ebenezer Scrooge that it's cynical. There's like a darkness to his laugh, but it's transformed into this transformation from awful to awesome. And by the end time you get to the end of the movie, he's awesome. Some transformation has happened deep within his heart, deep within his soul. And I love that. And I just wonder this morning, how many of you are come here with that kind of a bah humbug approach to Christmas? Don't raise your hand. We'll keep our hands down. But I know that that's the thing. Like, we do. We do have a approach to Christmas, very much like Scrooge, Ebenezer Scrooge. His very name, if you say, don't be a Scrooge, that means you're like, you're mean, or you're being like grumpy, or you're just kind of like a downer, like you're being a Scrooge, because no one ever called you that. Don't raise your hand. Okay, good. But here's the thing, when we hear the word Scrooge, there's connotations of this kind of stingy, miserly, greedy, grumpy, bitter person, doesn't it? But what I love about the Christmas Carol is that he moves from that person who's bitter and grumpy and all that, he moves to transformation. He moves to generosity. He moves to compassion. But he has to go through like a short period of time, and he goes through that. But what I love this story, I read this story when I was in high school. I remember taking an English class and we just reading the cover to cover and just kind of giving reports and all the different nuances. It just jumped to me. Like, I truly do. This is one of my favorite Christmas movies. I love it. I just love it because the reality is that many of us we come from a spot where we are, maybe in our past, that our past Christmases haven't been good. That's a truth, right? Maybe even this time right now, today, this morning, even getting here was tough, right? I hope you were blessed by the little ones. That was amazing, amazing worship with Aaron and the team. But we look at this and we think about life, and we think about Christmas, and there's so many bah humbug moments for us, isn't there? Like, you're just tired, and you're just tired of all the different stuff, and life can grind us down, and we can become bitter types of people. Do you know what the name Ebenezer means? Ebenezer means this. It means the Lord has helped us. the Lord has helped us. And when you think of Ebenezer, I know that I didn't. There's no way that the Lord is helping this guy. He's rich, he's greedy, he's all these things. But you can see, I think it was as Charles Dickens wrote this book in 1843, it was a kind of a letter to society in which society, even in this time, started treating people differently. There was kind of a darkness in society even then. I say it was the sin condition that we're feeling even today. But as Dickens wrote this novel, this little short novel, It was a kind of a plea to move to compassion, to move to generosity, to move to joy, to see your neighbor, to see the outcast in society. As he wrote that, he's putting this out there. He's challenging the status quo. He's challenging the status quo of the day, and I think it holds up. I think it holds up even today. So if you've seen the movie, can I just see a show of hands if you've seen any form of A Christmas Carol at some point? Could you just raise your hand? Okay, that's good. Now, here's the next one. If you've not seen The Christmas Carol at all ever, could you raise your hand boldly and bravely? One, two, okay, good, good. Appreciate that. So here's a spoiler alert for the two of you that raised your hand that didn't see it. I'm going to go through there in a little bit of depth, but it's okay. I'm not ruining anything. You probably know the story somewhat. But what we see is this guy named Ebenezer Scrooge. It's Charles Dickens' character who... He's like the epitome of society at the time, who were just kind of pushing and going toward greed and going toward all kinds of societal gain. And they kept neglecting and kind of downplaying what it meant to love your neighbor as yourself. And at Christmas time, what a greater time than any time of the year, as we remember Jesus who came as the greatest gift for us, that he is the gift that gives meaning, that he's the Lord has helped us. We sang in that the song, Emmanuel, God with us, that God the Father sent his one and only Son, Jesus, as this great help or this great gift to us to provide a way for us to have hope, this great light that's in the darkness that we are encountering time and time again. And so why was Ebenezer Scrooge a Scrooge? Why was he a mean guy? Why was he the way he was? And some of the things I read, perhaps it was childhood trauma. Maybe there was something happened to him in his childhood that caused him to have that, you know, the feelings he did. And we see that in some of the stories. We can see some of that in some of the movies. He grew up in economic hardship. Like he grew up in a certain way that he said he's never going to be like this again, and he's going to work hard. And listen, I'm saying money in and of itself is good, but the love of money is what corrupts, as the Bible says. But Ebenezer, in his time growing up, had economic hardships. I can relate to that. He was cold and cynical of the world. Does that relate to anybody this morning? That when you look out in the world, when you see how people treat one another, and you see the greed and the anger and the evil and the politics, cynicism creeps in. And so Scrooge had this grumpiness, and that's how he treated other people. There was a lack of compassion in this man. He eventually got to the spot where he was like, I just don't see people like Jesus sees people. I see people as a means to an end or a means to make money. He lacked compassion. Also, he was frustrated, as I said. He was frustrated with societal norms. Maybe he was upset with, you know, the expectation that they should be behaving a certain way, but they're not. And so all of these things, that type of a thought led to cruelty toward the poor. You know, when he saw the poor, Scrooge said, they're kind of disgust me. He wouldn't give to them. There was this lack of generosity. And so instead of becoming better, he became bitter. And so maybe this Christmas, maybe you're here this morning as we just kind of describe Scrooge's character. You know, I know this, that we all have a past, that we're all here in the present, and we're all going somewhere in the future. But all those things have determined and formed us and shaped us in the direction how we lived our lives, just as it did with Scrooge. And so in the story, he has a business partner who passed away, and Marley was condemned to wander the earth, and he had punishment for all this greed that he has, and it's symbolized with these chains and these boxes of money. And he comes to visit Ebenezer Scrooge in the night, and he says, hey, you still have a chance to change your ways, but if you don't, you're going to be damned to this eternal way of living. And so he warns him, and he says, you're going to be visited by three spirits, three ghosts, if you will, and they're going to warn you. And so there's the ghost of Christmas past, the ghost of Christmas present, and the ghost of Christmas yet to come, or the ghost of the future. And so it's this short period of time, Ebenezer has reached this place in his life where he is just kind of, he's fed up, he's hardened. He just is cynical about everything. And so he's given a chance. He's given a chance in this moment, in this story, in this movie, to change it around, to get a different perspective. What greater time than us for us this morning, listen, than to have a different perspective in our lives? What would you do if you were given a second chance to change the way you lived your life? What would you do differently? What would you, like, how would you treat somebody? What would you do something differently for a living? But most of the, here's the thing. Most of us would go back on how we were treating or how we were treating other people, right? And so for us, it's this deceptive talk, this humbug that comes out of him. Humbug, he says humbug over and over again. Humbug is that deceptive talk and behavior that he's tricked. In that movie clip, you can hear it, this humbug coming out of him in that laugh, that sinister laugh. Now, if we look at our lives, for many of us, time weighs on us like it does Ebenezer, because, you know, over time, we've been run down by life. Our past has been tough. Maybe you grew up in an alcoholic family. There was abuse. There was all kinds of, like, heavy stuff that you dealt with. You know, that might be it. Maybe some of us are just kind of just buying time and just kind of pushing through and wanting to get through it. That all is right in front of us right now is the time for us to see Jesus, in our midst. That he wants to redeem our past. He wants us to perfect our present and prepare for our future. He wants to do those things in our life, but we have to come to the spot and say, what would I do differently? Would I submit my life to Jesus, or am I going to cling to my Scrooge-like ways and be cynical and hardened? We have a choice, and how we decide and how we choose to live our lives and how we walk out our faith, it matters to God. And so I love this story because Scrooge is given this choice. He's given the opportunity to have a time of self-reflection, a self-reflective time in his life to say, where have I been? What am I at right now, and where am I going? The same is true for you this morning. What was your past like? Do you still let that define you? How about your present? How is your present going right now? Has God got you through this transition right now that you're just kind of like, whew, you know? Like Erin, she's going to, in her present reality, she's preparing to go to Hawaii, and we're thankful for her and her witness. But maybe for you this morning, what is God trying to prepare you for right now in the present? And then in your future, what are you preparing for? You know, I'm not talking New Year's resolutions. I'm talking about what is God giving you purpose in your heart and a plan to go and follow him. And so just as Scrooge has his heart transformed by the love of Christmas at the end, Christ coming into the world, God Emmanuel with us, offers us the opportunity and this complete transformation to happen with each one of us, that we no longer have to submit and give in to the darkness, but we're called to walk in his marvelous light. That Jesus comes as the light of the world. He's given us love and grace and forgiveness to deal with those things that we're going through. And so that's the tension with us, that we've got to understand, are we going to continue to let the past define us? Are we going to be just kind of crippled in the present? Are we just going to let the future just take care of itself? But we can, here's the thing, that we're trying to move in our faith to glorify God, to honor Jesus, this coming King, this light of the world. That's what we're called to do. What are we going to do? What's your choice? How are you going to move today? Are you going to be like Scrooge at the beginning of the story? Or are you going to be like Scrooge at the end of the story? I know what our answer we love to be, but the reality is some of us might feel stuck. We might feel stuck where we are. I know sometimes I get stuck in December, just the way I grew up in a broken family, alcoholism and the like. It was tough growing up. You know, I shouldn't have to go during Christmas Eve down to the police station to pick up my stepdad. You know, that's the kind of stuff I dealt with. You know, that's like, Merry Christmas, you know? Going to the jail with that one, that's my stepdad, you know? So it's that kind of stuff. Here's the thing, like, what does transformation truly look like for us in this Christmas season? Do we even see the need in our lives to be transformed? Do we get to sing all these songs? And I love the Christmas story because of Jesus coming to the world. He offers this transformation and this hope to us. That it is truly available to us if we just say, hey, listen, I need to examine my heart. That's my hope this morning as we go through this. You examine your life. You examine where you are and say, Jesus, you are the light of the world. I want to follow you. So here's our big idea this morning. Generosity and compassion will happen when we realize that our need for transformation by, here's the things we do, praising God for our past, perfecting our present, and preparing for the future. Roughly 700 years before Jesus was born, there was a man named Isaiah. Isaiah was a prophet. Isaiah prophesied and said that there was this coming king, this light that would enter into the world. And he talked about the birth of Jesus, which we sang about. And as Jesus was coming into the world, there was all kinds of darkness. There was darkness that was there. There was problems they were dealing with. But they were looking for this transformation. They were longing for God to move. Do you long for God to move in your life this morning? I know you do. But Scrooge, if we tie it back to Scrooge, in his life, he had this opportunity to start again. And then we get these words from Isaiah as this like beacon of hope, this light in the darkness, that Jesus is going to come. And so what does that mean to praise him for our past? This need for transformation. As Christ was coming into the world, the world was in brokenness, and God continued to call up prophets and mouthpieces and people to speak upon his behalf and asking them to repent, to come back to him, to turn from their evil ways. And he's saying, come back to me, and here's what's going to happen in the future. I'm prophesying. I'm giving you this light that's coming. And so we understand that there's this darkness in our world today, just as there was this darkness in the world in the time of Isaiah. But as Jesus came into the world, it's this great gift that as they were reflecting on their past, as the people of Israel reflected on all their past, there was that time between the Old and New Testaments. It was about 400 years where it was just darkness. They were waiting for God to move. And so there was this a lot of time for self-reflection. There was this time of self-reflection. And so Isaiah says this in Isaiah 9:2, the people who walk in darkness will see a great light. For those who live in a land of deep darkness, a light will shine. And so this prophecy begins as Isaiah starts talking about this coming Messiah who's going to come, who's going to bring light to darkness. There's this transformation that will happen. And it begins to build excitement. And a lot of time will go by, but Isaiah was that first to talk about this birth of Jesus. In Matthew 2:13, we see this. When the Magi, we're looking at the moving forward now, we hear about the birth of Jesus. You guys know this story. When the Magi, or the wise men, had gone, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. Get up, he said, take the child and his mother to flee to Egypt. Stay there until I tell you, for Herod is going to search for the child to kill him. And so as Jesus comes, there's this darkness that even Herod's plot is that his selfishness rules his life. It rules everything about him. He's trying to take the power of the time. He's trying to rid himself of this prophecy that he knew about Isaiah. And as he reflects about the past, God's saying, okay, these are the things that are going to happen. But in this moment in history, God intervened on behalf of his people and brought the greatest gift in the birth of Jesus. And so they warn Joseph and Mary, and they go and they spend their time. But this praising God for his past, you know, thinking about what God has done in your life in the past. Maybe it's been difficult, you know, but here's the thing. You can learn from that, and God can use that. Was it fair or right? No, it wasn't. But God used that to shape you and mold you and to prepare you. So what I like to tell, like even my kids, I tell this. I'm like, and I've learned this, that my past doesn't define me. It shapes me, it influences me, but it doesn't have to determine everything in my present, and it doesn't have to determine where I'm going in the future. And so some of you need to hear that your past doesn't define you. Your past and your family, where you grew up, your sins, those should not define you. I hope you hear that. So when you're praising God for your past, you're praising him for the lessons you've learned, amen? We're going to praise God for those things that you learned in your past. God, what did I learn from that broken relationship? Or what did I learn from my mom and dad, whether it was good or bad? What did I learn? Lord, what did you teach me in this situation? And honestly, here's the thing. Sometimes there's things in our past that we won't know this side of eternity. We won't. But someday we will. But we can still praise him for our past. We can praise him for our past, for all that he's done in that time. Psalm 139, 23 through 24 says this, search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. Does that sound like anybody here this morning? Point out anything in me that offends you, and lead me on the path everlasting. And so this praising of the past calls us for self-reflection and saying, God, search my heart. Search my heart. And the people of Israel began to search their hearts and listen to the words of Isaiah. And as Jesus was born and coming into this world, he was beginning to prepare their hearts. And sometimes we have to wrestle with our past. We have to wrestle with those things that we've gone through and learn from that. Like God's people were waiting for this Messiah. They were preparing their hearts for what God was going to do. What can you learn from your past, friends? What can you learn from your past? What can God teach you from that? As Scrooge in the book and in the movie, he was visited by the ghosts of Christmas past. He saw what he would have done differently or would have said something differently. You know, and it's an opportunity. We obviously can't go back to our past and change things, but we can learn from it. We can examine ourselves in a biblical way. When we do that, we move closer to transformation. Transformation meaning I'm going to transform from my old self to a new self that looks more like Jesus and less like me. That in the time of Christmas, I don't want to be miserable like Scrooge, but I want to look more and more like Jesus. Here's the second point. When we're moving toward generosity and compassion, we're transformed by perfecting our present. Perfecting your present means that you're looking to the light who is Christ, that you're looking for Jesus in the darkness, that you're looking to him in this time where it feels like there's darkness all around us, but we're going to look for Jesus. In Isaiah 9:6, again, Isaiah's words, he's saying this, "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders." And listen to these descriptives, how they're describing Jesus. "And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace." Wonderful, Mighty, Everlasting, Prince of Peace. Like these are descriptives that are talking about who Jesus and what he's like. And as we examine our lives and we look at who Jesus is, and we sang those songs, and we're coming even tomorrow night to our Christmas Eve candlelight service. We're coming to worship Jesus. But we think about who he really is and what he's like. And as we begin to reflect of our past, our how do we perfect our future? What does that mean? Does that mean to have it all, you're asking you to be perfect in the Christmas season? No. But it means this. It means having the awareness to see that Jesus is here now, that he is wonderful, that he is mighty, he's everlasting, and he gives peace. You can have all of those things in your present if you submit your lives and submit to that and say, God, I need that in my life. But in our present, we're distracted, aren't we? We're distracted by so many different things. We're looking elsewhere. We're all the noise around us, you know? And so Scrooge was, in this story, these stories that kind of run parallel, that even in this time, Scrooge sees these precious people that are in his midst that he's taken for granted. For instance, the Cratchits. He sees the Cratchit family, a great hard worker, a kind, gentle, loving man with a beautiful family, a kid with a handicap, and he's taking them for granted. He sees his family that comes in. He's taking them for granted. And so in his present, he's not making the best of the situation, is he? He's a grump. There's a dark, sinister laugh to the way he approaches life. And so here's the thing I'm going to ask you this morning. Are you cherishing the people in the situation where God has you right now, or are you just kind of cynical to it all? Because here's the thing, perfecting your present doesn't mean having it all together, but it is truly seeing the light of Jesus in the darkness that is around you. It's not having it all together, but it's perfecting your present, watching and waiting for Christ, seeing the best in people, seeing the light in people. I know it can be tough, but as we learn from that story, the Christmas Carol, but ultimately what we learn is that because of Jesus, this gift, that he's with us now. It isn't something that just happened. He's with us in the present right now. Are you focused on Jesus, the present, who's presently with you? Perfecting our present means to look at the light and not just all the other stuff. 1 Peter 1:15 through 16 says this, "But now you must be holy in everything you do, just as God who has chose you to be holy, for the scripture says you must be holy because I am holy." And so God's standard for us in the here and now, in the present, is for us to be like him, to be holy. Is that, again, it's not having it all together. It's striving to be like Christ, yes. But it is this holiness, this standard of perfection that he's calling us. And when I say the word perfection, I'm saying we're trying it to be more like Christ. And in that trying, we're just surrendering our lives in the present. So are we walking in the ways of God? The third one is this, that in our changing of our hearts, in the story you see as he's visited by the ghost of Christmas past and the ghost of Christmas present, he begins to have this self-reflective moments. And he begins to see the way he treated people. He gets to see the relationships that he's neglected. And then eventually he gets to the point where he's seeing in the future what's going to happen to some people and ultimately what's going to happen to himself. And then he's going to reach the end of his life and have such regrets in the way he lived. What a great gift for him to stop and have that reflection. That was, when we think about our lives, when we get to the end of our life, what do we want that to look like? Even in this Christmas, as we, what do we want Christmas to really look like? Is it about all the stuff? Is it about just accumulation of all the stuff, running around eating cookies, all that stuff? Or is it really about transformation because Jesus came into the world? That Jesus, the light of the world, came into the darkness to provide transformation to us. And so that change really happens in our hearts. Listen what Paul says in Ephesians chapter 4. But this is not the way you came to know Christ. Surely you heard of him. You were taught in him in keeping with the truth that is in Jesus. Listen to this, verse 22. To put off your former way of life, your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires. To be renewed in the spirit of your minds. And to put on the new self created to be like God in the true righteousness and holiness. And so as we wrestle with those things, you wrestle with your past. Some of you are caught in the past. It just keeps defining you, and it just has a hold on you. And we're called to let that go and surrender that and learn from that and move forward. We're in the present, that we're neglecting everything around us, that Christ is in our midst. Jesus is there. The Holy Spirit is moving among us, and he wants to have all of us. He wants to have all of our attention. He wants us to experience his joy, but we're distracted. But when we think about the future, as Paul says, he's saying to take off your old self. Think of a coat or a robe or something like that. My nephew is funny. We got together with him yesterday. He thought it was, he's a little 8-year-old kid. He bought a Snoop Dogg robe. You know, he saw Snoop Dogg on the Olympics. I'm like, in the 90s, that had a different connotation. But as Max put on this new robe, he thought he was the stuff. He thought he was cool. Right? But it really is. It's taking off our old self, our old ways, the past, the way we're in the present, and putting on this new self, which is Christ, who came in the form of a baby, and he came in as a light in the darkness for us to experience him in new ways. And so changing our hearts, this change only happens. We can't change ourselves. It's the Holy Spirit that does the changing. But it's this wakening of our hearts and submitting our lives and recognizing the sin that entangles us. And these chains that, like, we think of Marley in the story, those chains held him down. You know, what are the chains in your life that are holding you back? And God's saying, I want you to take off your old ways, your old self, and stop walking in darkness in order that you can prepare for your future. See, our perspective is an eternal perspective. As we're celebrating Christmas, we're thinking of what's to come. We're enjoying our kids, sure. I get that. But also, listen, I want to encourage you, don't miss that perspective to prepare for your future, that Christ is coming. He's going to come again. Isaiah 9:7 says this, his government and its peace will never end. He will rule with fairness and justice from the throne of his ancestor David for all eternity. And the passionate commitment of the Lord of heaven's armies will make this happen. And so Isaiah is talking about this just justice that longs for, that people long for in their time, that you and I long for. We're not just talking about societal, that's part of it, but we're talking spiritually too. This eternal perspective that we have in preparing our hearts for the future, that recognizing what we've done in the past doesn't define us, getting better and giving people the benefit of the doubt and showing grace and smiling and loving people where they are, preparing for our future, and seeing that Christ is coming and committing to him. Ezekiel said it this way, Ezekiel 36, and I will give you a new heart, a new spirit, and I will put it within you, and I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of stone for flesh and give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statute or walk in my ways or my laws and be careful to obey my rules. And so as we deal with our past and as we deal with our present, we prepare for our future. We put off this way of living and we look to Christ, is that we are called to walk in his ways. Transformation happens when you're transformed because of you recognizing the sinfulness of what we're going through. You're like, what kind of Christmas message is this? This is the good news. This is the good news that Christ has come to help deal with that thing that we're dealing with, that he comes to deliver us from that. And so here's what I hope for, friends, is this transformation that will happen in your hearts today, that you'll be able to deal with that heaviness that you're going through, that you'll be able to deal with this Scrooge humbug approach to life. We're not meant to live like that. We're not meant to live as cynics. We're meant to experience God. It's not always going to be easy. I get that. But we're still called as a Christian to have a different perspective and to live with joy as we sing joy to the world. That's what we're called to have, is this perspective. And so this transformation of the heart, it happens in God's people. As Jesus is born, he's come, and he's in the city of David. There's this excitement that happens as we read the story and we know about it. But this transformation has come, that all the 700 years ago, Isaiah prophesied about it. There was the 400-year waiting period in between testaments. And now Jesus has come to bring transformation, to lead us into lives of compassion and generosity, and to have this great joy. But somewhere along the way, we get tripped up. We become bitter. We become like Scrooge, don't we? And because of Jesus, we're called to let that go and repent of those ways. I am guilty of that. I'm guilty of that. Life can be so hard sometimes. It doesn't make sense. It just doesn't make sense. And so when I become hardened or I become grumpy, Melanie will testify. You can ask her. That I'm missing the point. That I'm truly not preparing for what God has for me. That I'm not putting off my old self and embracing God and all that he has for me. And so this transformation is so needed for us at this Christmas time. And it could be yours today. It could. That transformation of your heart happens. If you know the story, what happens to this transformation of Ebenezer Scrooge, who goes from awful to awesome in that one night? He really does. His voice and his laugh goes from sinister to joy-filled. That can happen for us. Why? Because of Jesus, what he did on the cross, and him coming in light in the darkness in the form of a baby. That gift is available to you. What are the areas that God needs to transform in your heart? Is it your past? That maybe you're holding on to something in your past that really is just hard to let go. I want to tell you that there's hope, that you can have hope to let that go and freedom from that. That doesn't define you. Your relationship in Jesus Christ defines you. Maybe in the present, you're so busy with stuff and things, and you're in your phone, and you're not recognizing the beautiful people that are around you, like the Cratchits, right? Or the shepherds, or the Magi. God's saying, be present. I'm here in your midst, right here and now. Don't miss out. Parents with little ones, don't blink. It's going to go fast. As a dad of an 18-year-old and a 21-year-old, be in the present. God wants to, I want you to perfect that present. And it doesn't mean having it all together. It means just being aware of who God is and who Christ is, and sensing his spirit moving among you. What about this? What is God preparing your heart for the future? Maybe it's ministry. Maybe there's ministry in you. Like if you have breath in your lungs, there's ministry in you, right? But maybe he's preparing you to reconcile a relationship, or maybe he's preparing you for something. I don't know what it is. But it does take preparation. What do I mean by preparation? It's doing an inventory of your heart and your mind and soul. This is bigger than New Year's resolutions. I'm not talking that. But the things that easily entangle you, the offenses you pick up so easily, the temper, all those things, those are the things that are causing you to not experience transformation. And as Jesus comes in the form of a baby, he says, transformation is available to you. He wants to transform us. He wants us to see him in the new way than we ever have before. I want to show you this clip. And then in this clip, you're going to see Scrooge. And this is after the third ghost visits him. Go ahead, take a look.
Late again, eh, Cratchit? You'll see about this.
Mr. Cratchit.
Here, sir.
Do you know what time it is?
Yes, sir.
What time is it?
18 minutes past the hour, sir.
18 and a half minutes past the hour. What do you mean, coming here this time of day?
I'm sorry, sir. I am behind my time.
Yes, I think you are. Step this way, sir, if you will, please.
It's only once a year, sir. It shall not be repeated. I was making rather merry yesterday.
Well, I'll tell you, my friend, I'm not going to stand for this any longer. Therefore, I am going to double your salary.
Double my salary, sir?
Yes, Bob. Yes, Bob. A Merry Christmas to you. I'll double your salary for a start. And I'll endeavor to assist your family in any way I can. And Tim will walk again and grow stronger and stronger upon my life, he will. Well, we'll discuss the particulars this afternoon over a Christmas bowl. What's the matter with you?
Nothing, sir. Well, it's just that... Nothing. Thank you, sir.
My good fellow, we'll make up the fire before we freeze to death. Buy some more coal before you dot another I, Bob Cratchit.
Yes, sir.
Ebenezer Scrooge was better than his word. He became as good a friend, as good a master, as good a man as the old city knew. And to Tiny Tim, who did not die, he was a second father. It was said of Ebenezer Scrooge that he knew how to keep Christmas well, if any man alive possessed the knowledge. May that be truly said of us, and all of us. And so, as Tiny Tim observed, God bless us, everyone.
So I love the ending of that. So he goes from awful to awesome. He blesses Bob Cratchit. If you don't know the story, Tiny Tim is his son with a leg condition, and he's worried about them, and he sees in some of these visits from these ghosts of what happens to Tiny Tim, and it horrifies him, and he changes. This transformation happened. You can see the transformation in that clip. Our hope and prayer is that for transformation to happen, that you see Jesus, and you let Jesus into your heart, whether you committed to him from a long time ago or tonight or this morning, you see him and you're going to honor him, and you're going to honor him with your life, and you're going to honor him the way you treat people. I love that clip because you can see, you can hear it in his voice. You can hear, did you hear the laugh? It went from this kind of sinister, cynical way to this joy. There was joy in his heart. And some of us need that this morning. We need to have that joy of the Lord in our hearts, that the world has beat us down. Life can be tough. Relationships can be tough. Sometimes you feel like God's not there, but he is. He's there. He sees you. He knows you. There's hope. There's hope for you, and the hope has come in the form of Jesus, the light of the world. In Matthew 25, verse 40, it says this. It says, the king will reply, truly I tell you, wherever you did for one of the least of these brothers and the sisters of mine, you did for me. And as this transformation happens in Scrooge's heart in the story, he sees the people that are in his life that matter. He sees all kinds of different people differently. He sees the poor in the movie, in the book. He gives to charity immediately. He gives away. He just is generous and compassionate. He starts giving away money and possessions. He buys a goose for people to have a Christmas dinner. And so he has this transformation in his heart. But as we read scripture, we see that God wanted to bring transformation to a people that just were bent towards sin. that are bent toward darkness. And he says, there needs to be a light, and I'm going to send my son Jesus to be the light in the world. And as we read the story, we know the story that there were shepherds that were the outcasts. God included them in that story, that they mattered to him. There were magi, learned men, that knew of Jesus, and they went to go seek him for who he was. He used a teenage girl as the God-bearer, Jesus, his mom. And so in this, we see this great story of transformation at Christmas time, that the true story of Christmas is about Jesus coming and being this light in darkness, transforming hearts and minds and communities and people, and he ultimately changes the world. But we have to see him. We have to surrender those things that are tripping us up, the things in our past, even in our present. Where are we? Are we locked in and focusing on that light that is Jesus? And I don't know about you, because of that, I want to prepare for my future. I want to give all that I have. I want to look to an eternal perspective of, I see people around me. Yesterday at our food pantry, we gave away 27 things of food to the community in need. And we're looking out for people. So there's this perspective that we have to have in our hearts, that change only comes through Jesus, and you have to accept that. And so here's another scripture verse for you. Just as you're saying, does God really care? Does God really see me? Does he care about my past? Does he really care about right now? Does he have a purpose for my future? Here's a verse to remind you. Here's a gift to remind you. John 3:16-17. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. For God sent his Son into the world, not to judge the world, but to save the world through him. So God wants to save us. He saves us from our sin. He saves us from our suffering. He wants to help us deal with our past. He wants you to be in the present right now, and he wants you to deal and prepare for a future in him. Will you accept this gift of Christmas? I know some of you won't be here tomorrow night. Some of you will. But even right now, I'm going to invite you to stand right where you are. That the love of Christ calls us to move from darkness to light, from selfishness to selflessness, from despair to hope. Will you honor Christ with your life? Will you accept this gift that he freely gives? Because he does. He gives it freely to you. So whether you're in a season of hope right now and you just can't see because of all the stuff you're going through right now, that he wants to give you that gift. He says, I want to give you that gift right where you are. I don't want you to be defined by your past, but I want you to be defined by my son, my daughter. I love you. In your past, in your present, is the noise of where you're at right now just too much? God wants to give you his peace. He wants to give you his peace that passes understanding. And for your future, God wants you to have an eternal perspective that you too can share this good news on that verse. John 3:16. So Father, I just pray right now that you would move us to generosity with our lives and our words and our perspectives, that you'd move us to compassion, that we would see the world differently and treat people differently. Because Jesus, as you came as a light into the darkness, you demonstrated over and over again what it meant to treat people with love and grace and offer forgiveness. And so, Father, I pray for my brothers and sisters right now. Maybe your head's bowed, eye closed, that you're dealing with your past, and your past has a hold on you, and you can't let it go. I want to pray with you this morning, right now, that if that's you, that your past is just, it's got you. I want to pray with you that God would let you go of your past, that you would find an identity, you know, through him. Would you just raise your hand? I want to pray for you. Even if you don't raise your hand, that's okay. Father, I pray for my brothers and sisters who are dealing with their past, that thing, that situation that happened to them, Lord. Would you give them freedom and victory through that? Would you help them to learn from those things? Would you help them to let go and let you work your ways in their hearts and their minds and their souls? That they wouldn't be defined by those things, whether it was an addiction or a bad relationship, but Lord, they would be defined by their faith in you, be what you did on the cross, by your coming to the Holy Spirit, Lord. That's how they should define themselves. So, Father, help them, free them from those things that they're dealing with in their past. Father, give them that purpose. And for the present right now, heads bowed, eyes closed, you're just so distracted. You're busy. You can't wait for January to get here. I just want to pray that Christ would be in your midst. So if that's you, just this is for you. Heavenly Father, I just pray for those that are in the present, Lord, that we would perfect our present, that, Lord, we would look at the best of the situation and the relationships we find ourselves. Would you perfect our present, Lord? Help us to look more like you, to respond more like you, that joy may be found in our lives, that joy would mark us deeply, that people would see and that we would encounter Jesus when they encounter us. So help us be in the present. And so, Father, I pray for our future, each one of us, Lord. You've called us here. You've called us to walk in your ways, to repent of the things that trip us up. Lord, may we this Christmas find that purpose, that a higher calling, this eternal perspective that it's bigger than ourselves and you invite us to be part of it. Lord, we just thank you. I just pray a blessing upon everyone here that they wouldn't feel hopeless, but they would feel hopeful because of you, Jesus, the light of the world. And so, Father, bless us as we go. I pray that we'd have an incredible Christmas time with our family. I pray that, Lord, that time of loneliness or estrangement would not be there, Lord, but they would feel your presence in their midst. And so, Father, I pray for you to be with us now. It's in Jesus' name I pray. And all of God's people said, you may be seated.